Please shake somebody before you sit down this evening. Give somebody a handshake. Praise God. All right, help me tell your neighbor, heal before you deal. Look for another person around you. Tell him or her, heal before you deal. Praise God. All right, the summary of what we are going to talk about today is the fact that you need to first be healed before you can go into a healthy relationship. Only people that are healed can go into healthy relationship. So basically, you need to be whole to go into a relationship. Hurting people that are hurting will equally hurt other people. All right? People that are hurting will hurt other people. All right? Hurting people will hurt other people. Usually, like they say, it is the quality of the eggs that determine the quality of the omelette, meaning that it's the ingredients you use to prepare the food that determines how good the food will be. Some days ago, they prepared moi-moi in my house. For those that are not Nigerians or those watching from abroad, moi-moi is... What is moi-moi? Bean cake? No. I think it's akara that is bean cake. Eh? Who can tell us the written English name for moi-moi? Eh? Because many of us will just say it. If you're abroad now, your friend says, what is this? You can't explain. Somebody in the island church says, moi-moi. Moi-moi. Praise God. Somebody says, bean pudding. Okay. Basically, something we prepare with beans. So they made the moi-moi and it was not tasting quite right. And I told my wife, how come you're not the one that prepared this thing yourself? You know, because usually when somebody else cooks, I can tell. And when she cooks, there's a difference, you know. Yeah, so when your wife can cook, it's a blessing. It is. So me, I'm particular about what I eat. I don't just like to waste my time. So it wasn't tasting like her quality. I said, why didn't you prepare it yourself? She said she kind of supervised them. She was there. She said, it should be nice. I said, no, it's not tasting nice, you know. So later we found out that what actually happened was that, you know, part of the things they used to prepare it was actually stale, you know. So it affected the end result. That is how this teaching is. The quality of persons in a relationship is what determines the outcome of that relationship. And there are too many broken people going into relationships, so it is affecting the relationships. Too many broken people, too many people that need healing. If you are broken, then the relationship itself is likely to be broken. Sometimes if it leads to marriage, then the marriage becomes broken. That's what we are seeing. Divorces, that's why we're seeing divorces increase, because people that are not fully healed are going into relationships. Praise God. So the purpose for this teaching is this. Two things. Number one, you can examine yourself. That's what the Bible says. The Bible said examine yourself. So you can examine yourself and check how you're doing. Then number two, you can also examine whoever you want to get involved with to see if they are healthy, if they are emotionally sound. First, you check yourself to make sure, am I in a position to actually go into a relationship now? You check yourself. Then you can also check the person you want to enter with. That way, both of you can spare yourself all the drama in the future. All right? Very important. Now, let me paint some pictures for you of how people that are not totally whole look like. Some signs and symptoms. Let me paint some ideas for you. I'm just painting this idea so that you can be examining yourself. There's no way I can mention all the signs. I can't mention all the signs today, but I'm going to mention a few. So what you're going to be doing is checking yourself if you have any of these things or if the people you are dating are showing any of these things. There are signs and symptoms. Praise God. Let me give you one. Some people, for instance, suffer from separation anxiety. What is separation anxiety? Separation anxiety is normally okay for children to have. Separation anxiety is what happens to a child whenever the parents wants to go out. How many of you have seen that before? And the child is crying. Have you seen that before? Because that child is not used to or is not comfortable with being separated from their parents. You notice some parents even feed that in the child. So they carry the child everywhere. You've seen those kind of parents. Even when they come to church, they can't take those parents to children's church. They carry them. He will cry. Let him cry. The earlier, because it's okay for him to have it at some point because his whole livelihood is dependent on that parents. But as he's growing, you must allow him or her become okay with what? Separation. Somebody gets what I'm saying? Because some of the things we are dealing with today, it was bad parenting that fed it. No, he will cry. No. He will cry. Let him cry. He won't die. There was one woman that we had an issue with that time many, many years ago. She doesn't come, she doesn't even stay in church. She will carry the baby inside church. The baby will cry, she will carry her outside church. We say, there's children's church. We say, no. She practically never enters service. So I just said, you should have just stayed at home with this church. She will carry the child and stay outside, carrying the child. That's what, she didn't come to church. The child is the God she's worshiping. Let him go where he's made, sir. Separation anxiety. So some adults grow up like this and still have separation anxiety. So they must never be single. Have you met people like that? Some of you are even like that. Don't know too much. They won't know it's you. They must never be single. That means at every point in time in their life, they must have a relationship. I don't know if you know people like that. They can't be single. They can't be single. They don't understand that sometimes when God wants to mature you, sometimes when God wants to train you and build you, he needs to separate you. He needs to separate you. You can't do a major surgery with all your friends lying on the bed with you. Am I correct? Only you have to be there. And they will knock you off. You can't even be awake. So God needs to sometimes say, hey, you need to be single enough for me to make you complete so that you can marry. You are too broken. I need to do a surgery on you. But some people, no. They must always have people. They must have a relationship. Every time. Some people, they would rather have a bad relationship than have no relationship. It's separation anxiety. They are so afraid of being single. They see it as a terror. They are terrified. Hey, single. So anybody that comes, say, just come. Let's start first. Until I find the real person I'm waiting for. You, just come. Just be on my side. Because I don't want to be alone. It's okay to be alone. Because sometimes you need to be alone for God to work on you. For you to even discover yourself. For you to discover yourself. Because it's important to first discover yourself before you discover a spouse. Many people don't know that. You must know yourself. When you know yourself, it helps you choose who you can marry. Separation anxiety. I can't be alone. That's why some people multi-date. There are some girls that have 3 or 4 boyfriends. So they have reserve. If one mess up, on that one will replace. So they have 3 or 4 people in their life relationship. I'm telling you. And some of these people are even sleeping with these 3 or 4 people at the same time. Just in case one no go well. It's separation anxiety. I must never be alone. Come on, tell your neighbor it's okay to be alone. No, tell him well. Tell him one more time. Hallelujah. It's not just okay, it's even necessary. It's necessary to be alone. It's necessary to be able to be by yourself. This is one of the things. Let's move to number 2. On that one. Low self-esteem. Some people have low self-esteem. When you have low self-esteem, it expresses itself in many ways. One of the ways is that some people like to control other people. They must control other people. They are control freaks. They are control freaks. Anything person they can't control, they are not comfortable with. They are control freaks. They have a thing for control. They must control everything. They control when you laugh. They control when you... Those are the people that when you date them, they want to change you. totally want to change you. And I'm wondering if you don't like how she laughs, you don't like how she walks, you don't like how she dresses. Why are you? That means, is this not the person for you? This is not the, but they prefer that they'll go and take somebody they should not take. And try to be changing everything about them. Control freaks. On that way, low self-esteem manifests is people that stay where they are being controlled. People that stay where you know that this person is wielding undue influence, undue control, and you stay. You're okay to stay. Then you too are dealing with low self-esteem. You have been so abused in your mind that you think it's okay. Praise God. So staying in abusive relationships, somebody's always insulting you. Someone doesn't believe in you, always calling you idiot, bastard, goat. I'm serious. Someone is always verbally abusing you like that. Always. Say, see how your mates are. Your mates are dressing well. See how you're... Always. And you still find a way to stay. See, when you have a healthy self-esteem, one of the things it does for you is that you choose where you can stay and where you can't stay. You refuse to stay where you're tolerated. You go to where you're celebrated. Are you here, somebody? You refuse to take rubbish. You refuse to take rubbish. When you have a healthy self-esteem, you know what your worth and value is. So when somebody's talking to you in a certain way, you refuse. Say, no, I'm not going to stay for this. So I'm always amazed when I see people stay in an abusive relationship and keep finding a way to want to forgive the guy. Keep finding a way to want to stay on. That's something is wrong with you. I don't have a problem with the person abusing you. I have a problem with you that think it's okay to stay here. Something is wrong with you. Are you here, somebody? Abuse. I've seen a goat. A guy call his babe goat and she will stay. What? Are you a goat? Are you a goat? And even if you're a goat, goats are stubborn everywhere in the world. They don't stay where you tell them to stay. Am I correct? So why are you staying? Which kind of a goat are you? Which kind of a goat are you? Don't stay where you are being verbally abused. Don't stay where you are being mentally abused. Don't stay where you are being emotionally abused. Don't stay. It's a proof of healthy self-esteem. I can't take that trash from you. Please, I'm doing a masterclass for ladies. I want to beg you, ladies. I'm doing a masterclass for ladies on 27th of April. I want all the ladies to try and attend this. Register and come for it if you like yourself. It's a paid event. So, see, many people don't want to invest in their own happiness. It's good. If you don't invest, I'm not the one that will invest in your happiness. I will invest in my happiness. If you think your own happiness is not worth investing in, good luck to you. Because I always meet people that don't want to invest in their own happiness. They want somebody to dash it to them. Invest in your happiness. Praise God. It's a coaching class for ladies. Men, will do your own later if you want. But I'm starting with ladies because they're the ones that run into trouble quickly. So let me go on. So somebody staying where you are being abused is a sign of low self-esteem. When you have a healthy self-esteem, you don't stay for rubbish. On that sign of low self-esteem, people that struggle with giving or receiving compliments, it means there's something wrong with you too. These are things you must deal with. People that find it hard to praise people. Have you seen people like that? No matter how great you are doing, they think that if they praise you, it reduces them. They can never find it in themselves to tell you your hair is nice, your dress is nice, you did this thing well. They can never praise you. And you know the interesting thing. Now, see the bad side of these people most times. These people, the day you do something bad or the day you are not dressing well, they are the first to quickly tell you what is wrong. But they've never praised you when you were right. They only see the bad in everything and in every person. It's a sign of low self-esteem. If you are not somebody that has been praising someone when they are doing good, you actually lose the right to correct them when they are doing bad. Or else you look like a hater. Are you here, somebody? Even married couples need to learn this. Your wife is cooking well every day. You don't praise her that the food is sweet. The only day the food didn't come out well, that's the day you're opening your mouth to talk for the first time. There's no way she won't see it as you just being ungrateful. and unappreciative. Are you getting what I'm saying? But if you have been singing a praise every day, it's working well. The one day you say, oh, this one didn't work well, she will understand. She will see it as a positive thing. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Same thing. There are people like that in most of us in our lives. They never say something good. They find it hard to give compliments. They can't say you did well. I have people like that or something. They follow me on Instagram. All the time there are good things on the page. They will never comment. They will never like. They will never, no response. The day there's something controversial, that's the day they come out from the blues and they want to talk suddenly. It's a sign that something is wrong with you. You see, as a rule, you must understand, most people that treat you badly is not personal. They first hate themselves before they hate you. You need to understand. They are struggling with themselves. The struggle is first with themselves. They are dealing with their own worth. So they think that by putting you down, it increases how they see themselves. It's a struggle, you must understand. They are trying to raise their own morale, but they think that, and they're not seeing a reason why, but they think that if they are better than you, or they put you down, or they make sure you're not better than them, it helps them. So it's more about their personal struggle, not about you. It's never about you. Find it hard to give compliments. You can't tell someone they are doing well. Always magnifying yourself when you meet people is also a sign of low self-esteem. Have met people like that? When they see you, they want to talk about all the great things in their life. As if that there are no bad things happening in their lives. They are deflective. It's a struggle. So when they see you, they're just promoting themselves. Say, I made 10 million last year. Oh, I bought new shoes. They can't just have a normal conversation that is not about them being great. I have some friends like that. I totally get sick of talking to them. I can't talk to them. Because once I see him, from beginning to the end, he's just trying to promote himself. Oh, I did this yesterday. I got this yesterday. What of just how are you? Waiting to happen? What's up? No. They can't. Watch out for people like that. If they're your friends and they want to enter a relationship with you, watch out for them. You sit down for lunch and throughout the 3 hours, they're talking about themselves. That's a problem. I get what I'm saying. They can't praise you. They can't give you praise. They can't acknowledge you are doing well. They can't acknowledge you two are good. On that part of this is that people that deal with low self-esteem, some of them too cannot receive compliments. There are people like that. Their own struggle is receiving compliments. When you tell them you are fine, they say, no, the thing is not fine. Wait. You say, your hair is fine. You say, but this part is bad. Have you seen people like that? There is a struggle. This your dress is nice. Saying, old. It's old. Now my old dress. There's nothing wrong with saying thank you. You must not explain all the bad things in your life because we gave you compliments. So I love your dress. Say, no, now my sister one. It's not my own. So I love your dress. It's very old. I bought it 3 years ago. It's old. Come on, just relax and say thank you. Receive the compliment. Some people struggle. This thing sounds funny, but I'm telling you, all these are signs that you need to take note of, that this person is dealing with something. They are all signs. Struggle. There are so many things. Let me move in. I'm just giving examples. Under one is people that are okay with, like I said, staying with abusive people. That one is a major one. I see people that stay under abusive leaders. Under abusive leaders, and they stay there. They stay there. I don't know how people do it. Stay under abusive leaders. Stay under abusive leaders. And they sit down comfortably in those churches, sit down comfortably in those organizations, and the leader is abusive. And everybody sits down, and they support it. Next one, let me move. Sexual abuse. Sexual abuse is another thing to take note of. And to be honest with you, the ratio or the percentage of people that have been sexually abused is so high. It's amazing. And the only problem is that sexual abuse is not the kind of thing people like to talk about. But it's rampant. It's rampant. The ratio or percentage is so high. So many people have been sexually molested as children. So many. And those of you that are parents in the house, please just try and be more and more and more careful. Because the rate at which people are being sexually molested is alarming, especially as children. And listen, guys, usually when there's sexual abuse, it leads, it opens the door. Oh, most times, 90% of the time, except by the mercy and the grace of God, most times it opens the door for other heavy sexual sin. So most people that have been sexually abused, you find out that either they become very promiscuous, so they become very sexually loose, because that sexual abuse on them makes them feel worthless, makes them feel, oh, what am I even keeping myself for again? I'm dirty, I'm worthless, I'm useless. So they become very promiscuous. So they start sleeping around with everybody. Or if it's a guy, he can become, you know, sexual addict. Some other people, the way it affects them is that they are now rigid sexually. So they are two extremes. They are rigid, so they can't even enjoy sex. There are couples that have seen that the wife can't enjoy sex. Maybe she was raped. Maybe she had a bad experience. And she's very rigid in sex. She can't even enjoy sex because it always reminds her. You see, she has not dealt with what has happened. Some go into homosexuality and lesbianism. Ah, that one is common. When most of the people dealing with extreme sexual behavior, if you have the chance to sit down and talk to them, you find out most of them were sexually molested. Go and find out. Most people that say they are homosexuals, they are lesbians, sit with them and investigate. They were largely molested. Most people that are, you know, homosexual or gay or prostitutes, find out. Or heavily promiscuous or heavily sexually sexual addict. So sexual abuse gives birth to those things. So you need to get healed from it. Don't just carry it on. You need to get healed from it. A lady was telling me one time that she was sexually molested by both male and female. She's a lady. She was sexually molested by both male and female. And you know, and she said now she can't even date people because anybody she's dating, no matter who she's dating, she always cheats on the person. You see, that's a real struggle. Some of you might not know what I'm talking about. But for those that know, they know. It's a real struggle. When you're coming from those backgrounds, you are battling and fighting demons that people don't know about. You see, and for her now, it's already affecting her relationships. If she goes to marry like that, it will affect her marriage. And tomorrow she will divorce or something. People will just say, why are they divorcing? Because they were not healed before they started to deal. She said she was molested by both male and female. So now she's bisexual, so she sleeps with both men and women. So no matter who she dates, she cheats on them with both sexes. Serious. She battles and she can't keep. She cheats on them. She cheats on anybody she's dating. So that's why she doesn't want to date anybody again, because she'll cheat on them. She has sex with both male and female now. The battle is still ongoing. Somebody getting what I'm saying? Sexual abuse is very bad. These are things people don't talk about, but we need to get healing from. We need to get healing from. And by the way, that reminds me, if you are here and you are dealing with anything like that, the very first ministry my wife started, when she was still in university, is Diamonds in Dust. That's their page. It's Diamond in the Dust, but the page on Instagram is Diamonds in Dust. If you are like that and you need to have a community of people that can help you and share with you, please join that page. It's a private page, so you have to apply to, you have to request and they will screen you before you can join. She was mentoring and helping people like that right from university. So that's her first ministry she ever started. So you need help when you're in that situation. Don't cover it. Don't cover it. Praise God. Okay, take me to the next one. People that have had traumatic experiences. People that have had what? Traumatic experiences. It has a way that it affects you. It might be things like rape. It might be things like abandonment. Your father left you when you were young. How many of you have seen people that have daddy issues? Have you heard of that at least? If you have not seen it, you've heard of people that's called daddy issues, have you? Maybe the person, the boy or the girl, their father left. You see, the way God designed it, every child needs their father and their mother. That's why if you're a single mom here, please make sure your son or child has a male figure, either your brother or your father or somebody he can relate with. Every child, the way that this is God's design, every child is supposed to have the influence of a mother and what? A father. Once one is missing, it can lead to issues in that child. And statistically, in Nigeria, we don't have statistics, but abroad, they found out that most children that their fathers are not around end up in prison. Statistically proven, at least abroad. Most children that their fathers are not around end up in prison.
So sometimes too, women, if they don't have their father around, they have what they call daddy issues. So they want to look for a daddy in their boyfriend. Or they generally react somehow towards men because they are still offended that their father left. So they say all men are wicked. So when you are coming, do your own JJ, and you have an appointment, you don't show up. You say, you want to go too, like my father? You want to go? All of you, it's better for all men. Traumatic experiences. Most of the people fighting on social media, we are not their problem. They already, something else is biting them. Go and investigate. They are upset with somebody else, not us. A lot of people, haven't seen people that always write negative comments, no matter what you post. They are offended by something else spinning them. Daddy issues. One or two more, then we'll go into how to heal. Under one is your parents' marriage and your upbringing. Your parents' marriage and what? Your upbringing. This one too is under major one. Your parents' marriage is your normal. If you grew up in a home where the father was the Lord of the Rings, where the father does not consult anybody, he's the Lord of. When he enters the house, kicks the door open, enters. Both your mother and the seven children all go under the bed. And he just looks around with his eyes. Doesn't say anything. Just looks around. Looks at how scattered the place is. Everybody's still shaking. If you grew up in that kind of home, you will either be too timid or you also be as violent and domineering. So when you marry, you will think your wife too is subject to you. Because some people think that's what submission is about. That I'm the head. I control everything. That's not what the head means. And if you are ever in a position where you need to quote, I'm the head, you have already lost the head. Being the head means you are the chief responsibility officer. It means you're supposed to cover everybody and take care of everybody, not dominate them. Somebody getting this? Because most men are growing up thinking, I can do and undo. Not this 21st century women, oh. They will deal with you. You won't believe it. And unfortunately for you, women are even earning more or as equal as men today. So all the financial power our fathers used to dominate everybody, those days are gone. She can have more money than you. So you must learn real leadership now. You can't just use bad eye like your father. You must learn what it means to love a woman. Praise God. Your parents' marriage, or the same thing, your mother could have been the troublesome person. Same thing. Your parents' marriage can affect you. Then your upbringing. I told them on the island, it is more likely for middle-class people to have good marriages. More likely. It's not always, of course, it's not everybody, but more likely middle-class to have great marriages. They are generally more stable. People that are so rich or so poor struggle in marriage. Let me give you an example. Let's say you are from a very rich family, very wealthy. You have many challenges. That's why rich people like their children to marry rich people. Some of you don't know this, but that's what happens. So if you notice, most rich people want their children to marry other, because the disparity and the challenges of a really rich person, marrying a normal person or a poor person is tough. The adjustment is much. Let me give you an example. This rich girl, she has been flying business class since they born her. She doesn't even know there's another part of a plane that is near the toilet. She's not aware. She has never seen it before. This girl grew up in a house where they've always had drivers, three. They've always had security men. She had never washed car before in her life. They've always had maids. She has never washed plates. This is where she grew up. She lives in Banana Island, in an estate. In fact, her whole house is like estate. There's big gates.
Then inside the estate, there's another estate, big gate. Then she now went to fall in love with one boy. One bomb boy. Okay, oh, it's Indian film. Rich girl fall in love with poor boy. It happened every day. Indian movie. Only that there are many challenges. The day they want to introduce this boy, first of all, he comes without a car. He doesn't have a car. He comes with taxi or kada. The gate men want to even drive him. That, God, leave this place. Because the gate men are used to the people that visit their oga driving in their own cars. And these are not cheap cars. So you drop him bike. Say you want to see Linda. They say in this house, my friend, move out of here. Until the girl shout from inside, he's my guest. Then they even tell him, stay near this, come inside and stay this way. Because there are some estates that if you're on foot, there's a way they will treat you. They think you are part of the housemate. They can't believe you have a visit, you have a guest, a friend in this estate, and you're trekking. Stay here. After she rescued him from the security people, he has never seen a house that big before. He enters, he sees the housemaid, he thinks it's the guest sister. He has never seen those things before. So they even begin to plan wedding. So they ask him, where are you planning to rent for this wedding? He say, in our frontage, in our roundabout on our street. The man with the kind of friends he has. They even ask him, what are your guest lists? For the man that has the daughter, he's a billionaire. So he said, I've spoken to the governor, he's going to be there. I've spoken to the president, he will be out of the country, but the vice president will represent him. You're hearing guest list. So I've spoken to Dangote and Otedola, they will definitely be there. And this and this. Then I asked the boy, who are your guest list? Are you seeing problem? Oh, this, they didn't plan, these two people didn't plan these problems. But they are reality problems. Who are your own guests? Say, our street chairman will be there. Where will he sit? Who will he sit next to? Then where will this event that president, vice president and governor is coming, where will he hold? Can that boy afford wherever the venue will be? So the father has already hijacked the event. The scale of balance has already started shifting. So they finally even crossed the stage of wedding. They now say, where are you going to live? Young bomb boy said, I have a flat in Okoko. Or in Ikorodu. And this girl live in Banana Island. What will the father and mother say? They say, don't worry. We will either give you a house or rent you a house around this neighborhood. Scale of balance. So we have two fathers in that house. That boy is no longer the head. The scale, he's not the king of his own castle. Scale of balance. Things are, and these are real cases I have seen. I've seen cases where we are in love, want to marry us. Where are we going to live? No, the parents of the bride, we'll rent house for our... See, and when your mother-in-law, father-in-law, the one that rent house that you are living, can you tell them when to visit or when? They are the one that can even tell you, don't come home this night. They can even threaten you, say, if I see you in that place, you shout at my daughter, go out, just sleep where you are. And you must obey because you are not the one that paid. You see that his house has already scattered. So I've seen those cases where the father of the bride have to go and record, my daughter that I grew in Banana, I want to take her to Ikorodu. How will I even visit, come and visit her? I beg, I'll rent somewhere for you in phase one. Yeah, I know you can't pay, but I'll pay. Everything has already scattered. Somebody get what I'm saying? Then rich people also, apart from the scale of balance, the attitude. Rich people don't value money the way poor people value money. Rich people, she has seen money. So she now meet Bomboy. Say, what's your monthly salary? He said 150K. That's not up to her pocket money monthly. So she doesn't know what to say. Because your whole monthly income is 150K. That's what she just spends. She wants to spa, you know. She wants to go and do her nails and her hair and spa. She spends 200. Your whole income is 150. There's already a problem. If you don't know, there's a way you get rich. You don't have so much patience. Patience reduces when you're rich because you are used to everybody attending to you. You are used to things moving fast when you get there. You're not used to waiting. I was just seeing them on the island. We were on a plane one time from London to going somewhere. They delayed this flight. And Heathrow Airport, London, is one of the busiest airports in the world. So they don't delay flights. Because if they delay one flight, it's going to affect too many flights. Because planes land back to back. So one missing the timing will affect many. So they delayed this flight. I've never seen flight that delayed in London. Ah, they delayed and delayed. 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Ah, I said, this who's delaying this flight like this? My brother, after the long delay, you know who was delaying it? There was one Arabian man. You see, when you're very rich, you don't have patience. You don't wait for people. People wait for you. One Arabian man. You know, they marry many wives. He came with about 3 wives, with about 7 or 8, 9 children, with maids. All of them were in business class. You know, go wait. You go wait for them. You go wait for them. All the while we're waiting, we thought it's technical. It's not a technical issue. They were waiting for one man and his whole family. Business class. And when they entered, they were all holding shopping bag. It means that they went shopping. We had to wait for them to go shopping. They went shopping. They hold all the shopping bag. They said, oh, sorry. They're sorry, sorry, sorry. Shopping. Now not keep us here 45 minutes shopping. Even the airline knew that there are some customers you must wait for. When you are very rich, everybody attends to you. When you are very, you're not used to patience. You're not used to anybody with wasting your time. Somebody get what I'm saying? When you are rich, you don't go to the bank. The bank comes to your house. I hope you know. Oh, when you are rich, you don't go to the bank. They call you, sir, how much will we bring? And they bring it in bullion van to your house. So you are not used to joining queue in bank. Tell her, number 18, you're 18. You're not used to it. So you're not married normal person. There will be problem. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So when you're very rich, there's the challenge. You can't wait. You did many things. When you're very rich, you're not even used to serving people. Except the parents do a very great job of upbringing. If that doesn't happen, when you're rich, you're not used to serving other people. Serve. Okay? Everybody serves you. You have housemaid, you have driver, you have security, you have everybody that doing everything for you. So you're not used to serving. And marriage is about what? Serving. Somebody getting this? You don't have patience. When you're very rich, you're like that. Everything's been done for you. Everything's happening when you want it. And the way you see money is not the way poor people see money. Rich people say, how much? 1 million? And they just pay them. Let's not argue. Do you have people like that in your life? The money is peppering your body. They're saying, no, it's just 500K. Leave it. Poor person say, we die here. 500K. I will kill myself. They don't kill yourself. It's how we die. I will die. Because when you are very poor, the situation is very different. You are too patient when you are poor. You are patient. Say, sorry, sir. Everybody pass. Ah, hey, Joe. Am I be new? Yeah, okay. And the way when you are very, very poor, the way you value money is different. You see money as a big deal because you don't see it often. So you respect it. Ah, 50,000. Hey. So the very rich need a lot of adjustment, the very poor. But people that are middle class usually have a more balanced idea of life. All right, so that can affect you. Praise God. One or two more, then we'll move to how to get healed. Bad breakups can affect you. Talking about your family, you know that the way they grew up, they are not close. Family, they are very close. Have you seen those kind of people? So if you have those kind of family, nobody called themselves for 3 years.
Nobody. Put in the family chat group. Just sneeze. That's it. Some families are generous. Some other families are stingy. Some other families, they hustle to survive for each other. Some families, all of them are enemies. So if that kind of person wants to marry you, he will see all your siblings as potential what? Enemies. Because that's where it's coming from. They are all fighting where it's coming from. They all hate themselves where it's coming from. Hallelujah. Your family upbringing is important. So you need to make sure. That's why you need a good counselor. That's why you must do premarital counseling. Because that person will be able to interpret that what you are calling normal is not normal. He can tell you that, this is how they are doing in your house, but that's not how it's done everywhere. So, there's some families that when they talk, they shout. But it's not, they're not angry. What should I do this guy now? It's normal. It's not fight. If you can marry somebody that's in their own house, they talk gently. She will always be shaking. Then why are you shouting at me? He said, I'm not shouting. When I shout, you will know. This is not shouting. I'm just talking. I'm just talking to you. Oh my God. So you need to know that. Counseling will help those things. Have you seen those people that when they're on the phone, everybody hears their conversation? Because they don't have the same hearing as us. Hello, John, where are you there? I go bring the money, and they whisper. I don't want to make anybody hear. That's all right. Is their family upbringing? Hallelujah. So you need to know. Have you seen those people that they use insult to greet themselves? Where any baba isha? Bastard! How you dey? This guy, you know, go better for you, the craze. My guy, that greeting. That greeting be that. Then you go and marry somebody that say, what? That's very insulting. I'm hurt by that statement. That greeting, say, no, they greet you. No verse, they greet you. Praise God. I like people that agree that. I say, fool, how you there? I say, bastard, man, I don't miss you. Oh, no, shit. Where are you? Oh, my God. So basically, your family upbringing might be affecting you. How they manage money in your family might be affecting you. How they eat in your family might be affecting you. In some families, hey, you dare not touch your meat until you finish your eba. Am I correct? How dare you? Infringement. How dare you touch your meat? Be going round the meat. Avoid the meat until you finish your eba. The meat is a reward for finishing your eba. It's your prize. You know, I got marry somebody that's in their house as they are eating, they are all eating their peas, are eating their fish. Two of you now want to eat on the same plate. There will be war. Because as you just start, first okay, the person just goes straight for the meat and say, No. Drop it. Drop it. I don't want to hear anything. Drop it. I said, drop it. Let's talk. Drop it first. And they'll drop it. I use something to cover it. Drop it. Cover it. Leave it on one side. Let's discuss. Praise God. You know, in some house, if you eat two meats, it's luxury. It must be your bad day. You eat too meat, it must be your birthday. Praise God. So family upbringing is important. So that's why you need a good counselor to bring balance to the situation. If not,
things that you call normal in your house might be a big fight where you are going. Next one. Bad breakups. Sometimes if you had a bad breakup, it can affect you. Like I say, normally, some people are punishing their next because of the crimes of their ex. They are punishing their next because of the crimes of their ex. So bad breakups can affect you. Before you know it, you have trust issues. So I can't trust anybody. One lady actually told me that she dated, very interesting. She said she dated three, she had three bad relationships, very bad. One of them scammed her of her rent money. So he borrowed the rent money, ran away. On that one, she dated was a 419 person. She didn't know. On that one, like that, bad experience. So by the time, now she's married. Now she's married, but she still has trust issues. When her husband tells her, I'm at so-and-so place, she's restless. She doesn't believe. This is real life, oh. This is real life. She said she discovered after this message that she discovered that those experiences were literally, that sometimes she gets depressed. If she doesn't know where her husband is, she gets depressed. Big, seriously. Because she has been so treated badly, cheated and scammed by men, she's still struggling to trust her husband. These are serious issues, guys. You must heal before you deal. Bad breakups can affect you. Some you were cheated on, so since that time, you think everybody's cheating. Another one is addictions. People that are dealing with addictions. You are addicted to smoking, addicted to drinking. Say, I don't drink all the time. I'm not addicted to drinking. Then stop drinking. You find that the person can't stop. Stop smoking, they can't stop. They're addicted. Those things too can affect you. Some are addicted to gambling. Yeah. All those betting and all that can look. They're addicted to it. Some have approval addiction. That means they like everybody to like them. They want everybody to. So they are always, they don't have a mind of their own. Anytime you ask them something, they're trying to find out what you want them to say before they say it. You say, what do you think about this nonsense speaker? I say, it's rubbish, it's not fine. You say, no, I was joking. The speaker is nice. Ah, it's nice, it's true. They don't have a mind of their own. They are addicted to approval. So they want everybody to like them. So if you ask them a question, they don't have a direct answer. They are always trying to be diplomatic in every answer because they don't want to offend anybody. It's a sickness. Approval addiction. You want everybody to love you. Because when you were young, people hated you. So now you want love at all costs. You see, the issue, there are many of them, but I'll move on to the next thing. So the issue is that there are some things you are doing that is showing deep-seated problems that you don't know. You are seeking attention. See, all of us want alike attention. But when you start seeking it the wrong way, it's proof that something is wrong with you. So some people are naked just for attention. They want it by force. So they'll go out of their way to be unnecessarily loud, unnecessarily loose, unnecessarily crazy. Because they must notice me. Praise God. How do you get healed? I'll run through the seven things quickly. How do you get healed of any of these issues? There are many of them. I just mentioned a few. How do you get healed? Number one, don't bottle it up or push it aside. Don't bottle it up or push it aside. That means don't push it aside. And don't bottle it up. If you are dealing with anything, either you found out you have these weaknesses or these problems or this esteem issue or any of those things, don't bottle it up. Don't deny it. Don't be in denial. It's very easy to be in denial. As a matter of fact, if you abroad, if you join any of these Alcoholic Anonymous, or these groups that help with alcoholics, one of the things they make you say when you join is that you declare, my name is John, I'm an alcoholic. You need to accept that you have this issue. So don't cover it. The Bible says, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. It says, but he that opens it up or confesses it shall receive mercy and get healed. So don't cover it up. If you cover it up, one of these days is going to erupt when you're not expecting. Many people that have outbursts, they were covering their pain, covering their hurt, without talking about it, without dealing with it, and one day, out of nowhere, they will lash out on somebody. And the person wondering, what did I do you? Have you seen people that, in Nigeria, all the time you see somebody, you just drive where you're busy, what kind of whatever, it's their own frustration they're bringing from home. It's not this small thing you did here. It will come out. If you keep hiding your pain, you never address it. There will be outburst. So be open and talk about it. Be open and talk about it. Don't cover it up. It's okay to cry about it. It's okay to talk. Meet somebody that is willing to listen and talk.
Don't cover it up. Praise God. It has a way of coming out at the wrong time when you're not expecting. You lost a loved one. You've never taken time to cry. Somebody broke your heart. You've never taken time to grieve or to whatever. You just cover it up and pretend you are strong, and it's still paining you. And I've told people, especially ladies, if a guy breaks up with you, even if it's a guy, same thing. If somebody breaks up with you, nobody breaks up with you suddenly. Nobody breaks up with you the spur of the moment. They've thought about it long ago. They've decided since. That means they've broken up with you like 6 months ago. They were just waiting for the right time to tell you. So one day you just step on them, they say, "You step on me. I'm not doing it again. It's over. It's over." Now, when the guy or the girl breaks the news, it's not the day they broke up with you. They've broken up with you since. They were waiting for the right time. The day they break the news, you must remember this. Don't cry there. Don't beg. Remember, this person has been emotionally disconnected with you since. Don't disgrace the remaining part of your family. By saying, "What did I do to you? Please, don't break my heart." Like, you know, because ladies do that a lot. They think if I beg him, he'll change. Mm-mm. He has broken up since. He's probably already even programming somebody else already. If they've not even started already. You shouldn't know men are not that. They're not that slow. He has already started working on that work somewhere. The other guy might even already know about you. So they now finally break your heart. You now be disgracing the remaining part of your family. That's the small dignity you have left. You want to waste it there that day. No. If they tell you that, I'm going to say, "Okay, that's fine. I understand." Ask him why. When he tells you, say, "It's okay." Even if the reason makes sense or not, don't try to convince him. If he says, "I don't think we're compatible," don't say, "No, we can work on it." Mm-mm. The person has broken up since. Don't try to convince them. Sometimes people don't even tell you the real reason they are breaking up with you. They can't even tell you. They have to look for a reason that looks good. So to be trying to convince them and beg them is a waste of time. You are just postponing the inevitable. When they tell you, say, "Thank you for your honesty. It was nice while it lasted. I wish you well and everything. Give my charger and other things in your house." Collect it that day. My laptop and everything else. Please give me. And be strong. Live there. Stay intact with your dignity. And leave immediately. Don't even let him escort you. Don't let him go and drop you. If he's in a car, come down on the spot. Before you disgrace yourself. Come down, carry your things, then go and meet your friends and cry. Cry. Go and meet your friends and cry there. Cry very well. Remove your wig. Sit down on the ground. No need a wig. No need a wig now, because remove your wig. Sit down. Cry very well. Amongst your friends that already love you unconditionally, cry. But don't do that crying in front of that guy. Don't beg him or her. Don't beg. Have dignity. Because if you beg, he will add it to the story. So when I can't tell her, she begin crying. That what will happen? His close friends already know he has broken up with you. They are waiting for the gist. They are following up. Even while he's with you, they are just, "You don't tell him. You don't tell him." They are chatting. So you must remember these things. So you must do it dignified. So you are breaking up. Thank you. Carry on. Dignified. Then when you reach your friend's house, sit down, come on your wig, say, "Yay, I don't die." Praise God. Yeah, dignified. Very important. But it's okay to cry. All this point I'm saying is that it's okay to cry in the right place at the right time. It's okay to cry. So go amongst your friends. Cry very well. Cry very well. If you can stay with your friends, don't go to the opposite sex. Your female friends. If you go between sex, you will start on that relationship you didn't plan. It always happens. So don't do that. Because at that time you are vulnerable, you can do anything to ease your pain. So most times people jump into that door. Don't do that. Go to your friends, same sex friends. Sit down, cry. Let them be around you or be around them. At that time, you need people around you to be fanning you before you faint.
That's why you must always have good friends. So go there and cry. Go there and vent. Vent. All the things you would have told him, be telling your friends. That I suffer for this boy. They say, And those of you that are friends of the person coming from breakup, the breakupee, if you are their friend, please allow them to vent. That's part of the responsibility of friendship. You are the venting board of your friend. It's part of your work if you are somebody's friend. So when they are coming from a hurting place, whatever it is, whether it's relationship or any other thing, you are supposed to be receiving the hurt. Don't pack it on yourself. As they are telling you, be throwing it away. Yeah, but because if you pack it yourself, you too will not get angry for nothing or get hurt. So, but you must be the person they are talking to. So sit down there, let them talk to you. Say, that boy, I suffer for him. He said, yes, now they're there now. Say, but you buy this thing for him. Yes. Let them vent. They need to vent. If they don't vent there, one day it will come out from nowhere. Let them vent. Let them talk. Let them talk. And this might go on for 1 or 2 weeks or 1 or 2 months. But this is your responsibility. Let them talk. It's important they pour it out. When they pour it out and they have nothing else to pour out, they get better. But if they cover it up, it gets worse. Let them talk. Be there. Say, hey, what's happened? Say, this boy, we were. You say, yes, you put wear clothes. Let her talk. Let her vent. Venting is important. Crying is important. Let it go. If you don't do it, one day you'll find that you'll be crying for no reason. No reason.
So how can Chelsea miss their penalty?
You say, would you be Chelsea fan?
I don't be Chelsea fan. I just like football. I want everybody to be happy.
Just cry.
Why rain go they fall? Why rain they fall?
So what it cause? You say, no, I just.
Because you didn't cry when you needed to cry. Let me tell anybody, it's okay to cry. And this is both for men and women, because men are trained not to cry. So most men are bottled up aggression. Men can cry. But you know, as a man, there's a way to cry. No disgrace also. No, be so with a cry. Oh. Cry with respect. I'm so... They look at friends and say, No, cry with dignity and respect. Praise God. So number two, let me move. Number two, you need to realize that how you feel is normal. All right, number one, don't bottle it up. Number two, you need to realize that how you are feeling now is actually normal. It's a normal reaction to what you have gone through. If you have gone through breakup, it's normal to hate men that time or women. It's a normal reaction. You shouldn't continue with it, but at that time, everybody feels like that. Do you understand? See, God has never said you should not react. What God is saying is that don't let the reaction lead to sin. So you will see God will say, be angry and sin not. But he can't tell you not to be angry. Anger is a natural reaction to some things. And if I get what I'm saying. So God will never tell you, don't have feelings. He's just saying, don't feel to the point where you take the wrong action. If somebody insults you, it's normal to feel bad, though. If they're insulting you and feeling good, something is wrong with you. If something bad happens or you lose a loved one and you're laughing, that's wrong. Most people, it means you know well. Or now you kill the person. Because the most natural reaction when you lose a loved one is to grieve. Don't be afraid to grieve. There are some times, you to know that the reaction you have is absolutely normal. It's a normal reaction to what you're going through. So sometimes if you have been sexually abused, you tend to feel worthless. It's part of what happens. So you need to know that it's okay to do that. But you get healed, though, but you need to know that it's a natural reaction. It's not your fault that you're feeling that way. It might be fear. It might be feelings of defectiveness. It might be feelings of shame. It might be feeling of self-blame. Sometimes you are blaming yourself unnecessarily. You know, it might be temptation to be promiscuous. All you must know that my reactions are the normal reactions to the thing I just went through. All right? Be angry and what? Sin not. Number three, I'm just rushing them. Permit me, I'm rushing them because of time. Number three,
Open up to God's spirit. Open up to what? God's spirit. The best person to heal you is Jesus Christ. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, he said, "The Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted." That's somebody going through emotional pain. He said, "He has also anointed me to heal those that are bruised." That means those that are crushed. So if you're going through an emotional pain or a crushing time, the anointing or the Holy Spirit can actually heal you. But you have to open up to him. You have to go to him in prayer and say, "Lord, I'm really hot. Lord, this boy disappointed me. Lord, this thing disappointed me. I'm really hot." And pour your heart out to God. The difference between pouring your heart out to friends and pouring your heart out to God is this. When you pour your heart out to friends, you temporarily feel better. You are releasing emotion. But when you pour your heart out to God, you are opening yourself for God's power to come upon you. That's the one that really heals you. Somebody getting what I'm saying? It's like when you have somewhere that there's pus or a wound, they have to open it for the pus to come out. That's venting. But they also have to apply some medicine for that place to get healed. So that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Open up to him. He understands. He is there to heal the brokenhearted. So it's okay to open up and say, "Heal me, Lord. I've gone through pain. Heal me, Lord. I've gone through hurt. Heal me, Lord." Are you here, somebody? God's unconditional love can heal. You are struggling with the fact that a man doesn't love you anymore, but there is a man that loves you unconditionally. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That love is a healing love. That love will make you know at least you are wanted and appreciated somewhere. Even if the man didn't want you, the woman didn't want you, the woman didn't appreciate you, but God loves you so much that he even killed his son for you. Number four, talk to someone that can help. Talk to someone that can help. I don't mean just talk to anybody. This one means you are talking to somebody in a position, either spiritually to help you or professionally to help you. In this part of the world, most people don't know about, they're not used to professional help in terms of what they're going through. That's why when we're doing this masterclass on relationship, somebody asks that, "Why are we paying for the event?" I'm laughing. If it was abroad, by the time you are not feeling well, and you're emotionally strained, there are people they call psychologists. You pay them. A lot of times they're not even telling you, they're just listening to you. It's work. They listen to all your rubbish. So me and him, we went to Ikeja. I said, "Mm-hmm." But they're charging you per hour, so be talking rubbish. But you need to vent. That venting is helping you. Psychologists are rich abroad because people know that they need emotional help. It's in Nigeria, people don't think they need help. So we have many people that have anger. The mad people wearing clothes are more than the mad people not wearing clothes. So. Because we're not used to help. We don't value things like that. We can pay money for shoe that we can see. But somebody canceling you, they think you don't need to pay. What is he doing for me? Until you run into a real problem, you will know he's working. So talk to someone, either a professional or somebody that is bringing spiritual help to you. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. So this is somebody that can pray with you. This is somebody that can impact you. Not just your friends that will carry your gossip. That's not what they're talking about. Not just anybody you see on the road. You tell them, "I was raped. Come on here." Those people can, they might not be able to manage that information. So you're talking to somebody that is in a position to manage the information and also help you. See, confession helps you heal. It's important. That's what the Bible says. Say, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. So it's important you say, "Oh, this is what I did." Even if you're the one that the offender, say, "This is what I did." You know, you confess it. Or it happened to you, you confess it, you share it, and the person can pray with you. All right? That's in the book of James. So talk to somebody that can help you. Somebody that can help you. Talk to someone. Don't keep it. Don't stay in isolation. Because Satan wants to isolate you. Say, "Don't tell anybody, hey, this is too shameful. Don't let anybody know." No matter what you're going through, there's nothing new under heaven. Most of those professionals or experts, they've heard worse cases. I always meet people that say, "Pastor, my case, let it be anonymously anonymous. Because it's a very tough case." I'm just laughing. I say, "You say it now, I've heard a thousand of it."
But you, in their mind, they think they are the only one. Pastor, is that you, this thing? Am I talking to Pastor K exactly? Because it's a very important thing, but the case, it only means I've gone through it in this whole life.
By then they mention it, it's everyday case. So that expert of rational, he has heard it before. Don't let Satan tell you, hey, this thing is too shameful. Don't let anybody know a lie. Nothing you want to go through that I've not heard. Nothing.
So talk to a professional. They can help you. One professional was sharing with us how he was dealing with a top manager somewhere. An elder, a grown man, mature man, is a big guy in where he works. But he was having migraine. And just by talking to a professional, professional sat him down and said, gist me about your childhood. Gist me how the thing started. And they found out that when he was young, his parents were always quarreling. And whenever they are quarreling and violent and beating themselves, he will roll on the floor and say, he has headache, he has migraine. Like he wants to die. And they will leave the fight and try to... So that's how he was solving the fight. But he did that so much that even when he grew and lived on his own, he still continued to have that headache. Imaginary headache. He still used to have it. So they had to trace it back to where it started. And started dealing with it. You see, that's the power of talking to an expert. He's trained to help you. It's worth paying for. Some people don't know. Your mental health is important. Too many people causing trouble in the world because they are not mentally sound. Number five, I have to start rounding up. Number five, forgive. Forgive whoever offended you. If you are the one that is the trouble, forgive yourself. Because healing cannot take place without forgiveness. When they say you should forgive, they are not saying you should forgive because the person deserves forgiveness. They are saying you should forgive because you deserve healing. You're forgiving someone. The instruction to forgive is not because the person deserves it. It's because you deserve to be healed. Because as long as you're holding on to that hurt, you will not get healed. Forgiveness is letting go so that you can grow. If you hold on to it, it will harm you. Forgiveness, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting another person to be hurt. It will affect you that drank it. So you must forgive. God usually can't reach deep down in you until you forgive. And how do you know you have really forgiven? One of the ways you know you are forgiven is when you no longer wish the person bad. If you are still here, you have an ex that you're always secretly going with under handle to go and check their page. You have to stop that nonsense. There are people doing it. You have on that page where you use, or sometimes use your page in the midnight. You go and check whether he's happy, or whether she has met somebody, or whether her marriage is having problem. You are still stalking them. You need to let it go. I know some people have treated you very badly, very, very badly, but you must let it go. You must forgive and wish them well. If anytime they come to your mind, you still wish them evil, you have not really forgiven them. Some of you break up, you have to even stop keeping in touch with the person so that you can really heal. Because you're still monitoring. You're still checking if they're happy. Yes, they have problem. Thank God. Mm-mm. It means you are not healed. So remember, how to know you're forgiven is that you no longer wish the person evil. You see the person and you wish them well. In fact, the way God taught me, he said, until you can pray for the person that hurt you, you've not really forgiven them. And the prayer I mean is not prayer of fall and die. It's you can pray that it will be well with them. That's how to know you have forgiven. When God told me that, I said, no, God, you have to show me in scripture. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is established. So you must show me in two or three scriptures. God says, it's very simple, I'll show you. Number one, God told me, I said in my word, pray for your enemies. Ah. Number two, God said, when Jesus was about to die, the people that organized for him to be hung, what did he pray for them? Lord, forgive them. And it wasn't a scam prayer. It was a real prayer. And if Jesus asked for forgiveness for them, it means those people are not going to suffer anything for that, for killing Jesus. Their slate was wiped clean. It was a real prayer. It wasn't just a religious prayer. It was real. Jesus said, God, these people killing me, don't hold it against them. Can you imagine that? Those guys are going to bounce their life without nothing being accrued to them for killing Jesus. Jesus prayed for, no, I'm not the one that prayed for them. Jesus asked God, say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If not Nigerian Jesus. Father! These people don't know me. Lord, let's show them. Start killing them and their mother and their children one by one from here. Start killing. was like, Jesus saying, kill him, say, kill me, you want to crucify me? You know, go better for you. God punish you. You ate bread and fish in my crusade. I know you. You ate 2 rounds. That food will never digest in your stomach. He prayed for them. And the third example God gave me was the story of Job. Job had some very crazy friends because they were probably envious of him, of how rich he was. So when he had the downtime, they all started coming and saying, you're a bad person. God was punishing you. And when God wanted to restore him, God said, you pray for his friends. And when he prayed for his friends, his own life was turned around. So until you can pray for that person, you've not really forgiven them. Number 6, I have to close. Get a positive support system you can trust. So you need a group of friends, a group of people. That's why I said, like, those of you that, if you have any sexual abuse issues, you can join that Pastor Mildred's page, Diamonds in Dust, on Instagram. You need a positive group of people dealing with the same kind of things, or at least talking about the same kind of things, so that you can help you get over it. Then number 7, I have to close. Pick yourself up. Pick yourself up. There are many people that have gone through these things, and they're still, they have now turned the situation to their identity. It has become their identity. They don't want to move on again. It has become their story. Why are you like this? Say, if you see what I went through. Nobody wants to see what you went through. Pick yourself up. It was in the past. Keep it in the past. Don't turn it to your present identity. Everywhere you go, you say, I almost married in 1998. Come and hear my story. Let it go. Pick your life up. Don't hold the crutches of that situation and be going about. No. We know you have been through a tough time, but don't let that be your identity. Pick yourself up. You owe yourself a better life. You are responsible for how your life turned out. You can't keep making excuses or pointing at what somebody did to you as the reason why you're not moving forward. Your father left you when you were young. Thank God, but you move on. You have God the Father. Your mother left you. Move on. Oh, that boy left. Move on. You went through a hard time. People betrayed you. They betray all of us. They betrayed Jesus. Hallelujah. But he stayed focused at where he was going. Hallelujah. Don't play the victim. Don't stay down. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Have you been blessed this evening? Praise God. Can we bow our heads? I want to pray for somebody here today. I want to pray for somebody here today.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.